Welcome to Life Talks by Transplant Life. The views expressed in this episode do not necessarily reflect the views of LifeBulb. This is not meant to be medical advice, and any and all concerns or changes should be addressed with your medical team.
Welcome to Life Talks. My name is Jean Marie. I'm your host today. I was diagnosed with lupus when I was 16. And I had a kidney transplant when I was 24. My dad is my living donor. So it's been 18 years since I've had this kidney transplant. I am just recently listed on the national wait list. And here in Southern California, it is a 9-year wait. So I've been exploring a lot of new feelings and emotions going through this entire process again. Today, I am here with my friend Dusty, and he had a kidney transplant in 2009. He was only 17 when he had his transplant, started dialysis when he was 16. So welcome, Dusty. Thank you for joining me today.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your transplant journey.
Yeah, so it was really an interesting time to have to go through this, as many people who are listening might attest to, especially when you're in your teenage years. You have to really think about all types of ways of navigating that when it comes to family, friends, and school, and you're already kind of searching for your identity in that space. And so for me, I was really grateful for a really supportive community when it comes to the school community, friends, family. Everyone really rallied around trying to figure out how to help me throughout the process of figuring out what that transplant journey was going to look like. So like you said, I was 16 when I started dialysis. We didn't quite know what the issue was. It really started with pains here and there throughout my body. I remember getting to a place when I just wasn't able to sleep very well. I felt just generally fatigued, and we couldn't quite figure that out either. We did start going to the doctor, but not until I started actually losing vision in my eyes did we get to a place where we had to really step up our game and searching for what the diagnosis was. Because obviously with my kidneys, or at least what I was told, is since they had really discontinued filtering out toxins, et cetera, that started affecting everywhere else in my body. So eventually after visiting so many different specialties and doctors, we got blood tests done and found out about end-stage renal disease. I was arrested at Children's Hospital in Birmingham, Alabama. And that is where all this started. I was very fortunate. I was really only on dialysis for maybe 8 or 9 months. And I'm always very privileged to be able to say that, because I know people who have been on dialysis for a lot longer. And yeah, I was able to receive a kidney transplant at the age of 17 from my dad. And that was a really awesome opportunity, because I was able to go into my senior year and into college without really dealing with the same symptoms I had. So I'm very thankful for that journey.
Wow. Thank you for sharing. So I know that you and I were chatting before about how you were going to be moving out of state. And we were just chatting about how we approach our doctor's appointments. And we realized how vastly different we approach each one. Or how we approach them. Tell me a little bit about how you process going to the doctors, like a doctor appointment.
Gosh, I wish there was one good answer I could give you. It's funny because, as you mentioned, I am moving. I had always been on the move, whether that was after college, whether after college going to New Orleans, where I lived for 5 years. I also moved around in New Orleans. I moved to Philadelphia, a little further east in Westchester, Pennsylvania. So this isn't new to me, trying to find and developing relationships with doctors. And so I've always had to figure out how far I want to try to take that relationship. Is it something I know is going to last for a long time? Is it something that it needs to be really reciprocal? So to really answer your question, I think for me, I try to really chunk it up at this point in my life into a few different categories, really thinking about what am I going to the doctor for, really being strategic and thoughtful about what I'm trying to get out of the doctor. If it's just a prescription and I don't need anything else and my labs look good, that's a different type of conversation. But something I find that I've been trying to do more recently is think about the follow-up and think about kind of documenting what I've learned, summarizing my visit in my head and trying to think about what I need to do differently next time, or if there needs to be further conversation and some type of online portal. So those are three ways I've been thinking about approaching it. One thing I will say, ever since I was diagnosed with Alport syndrome, which didn't actually happen until much later in my 20s, ever since then, I realized that with a collaborative relationship with a doctor where you feel confident in saying what you need to say, that's when you can probably dig in and get more granular. Because when I built a relationship with the doctor after moving to Westchester, Pennsylvania, I realized that he was able to see and diagnose things in different ways and offer suggestions that no other nephrologist, no other doctor had before. And that led and culminated in getting a genetic test, being able to understand that I had Alport syndrome and what was the real cause of all the things that happened previously. There have been some understanding that that possibly could have been the disease that I had, but the genetic testing I got my transplant was so expensive, it seems like it was out of the question for my parents at that point in time. So having said all that and kind of circling back, one thing I definitely want to hear on your thoughts too are how you think about really that advocacy piece for when you're visiting a doctor, because I found that there are times when I really want to do one of two things: have an accountability buddy, and what that might mean is me telling my mom, hey, I'm going to the doctor, I want to get this information, or telling my partner, I'm going to the doctor, have an appointment, here are some things I'm looking into, can you ask me about this actor? And maybe knowing that I have to really rely on that person asking me about it and getting the answer that way, or actually trying to as well bring someone with me, which, you know, can be challenging because usually you're going in the middle of the day and there's issues with scheduling. But I do find that if I were to bring someone with me, if I forget about something, they would have more confidence in bringing it up. Though there's some things that come off the top of my head, but yeah, I'd love to hear a bit about what you do because maybe I can learn from you.
Yeah. So like I, like you, I've started this journey in my teens. And so I've kind of had to, and for me, and it was before the internet, I'm that old. So I had to really kind of figure out how to navigate through the finding a doctor on without the internet and health grade reports and stuff. So I used to, so right when I turned 17, I started, when they took me out of pediatrics and put me into adult, I went around and I interviewed my doctors, my nephrologists. And I told them what I was looking for in a doctor. I told them, you know, how much or less, like I'd want them to be available to me. I told them, like, I just interviewed them on to see what they would be able to provide me as a doctor and as their patient. So I was very willing to learn. I was willing to try and slow down the progression of my CKD. So I was all ears for them. And as I got older and I had the transplant, I have learned, and with the internet, I've learned that I use my doctors as a tool, and they're not. And when I say that, you know, I can be more honest and open with them. Because I feel like a lot of times people have the tendency of not being completely honest, like they're looking for a report card, but they're there to help you. You know, if you're really having trouble navigating your diet, tell them, you know, they might have resources for you. I've never had a doctor look at, some are a little judgy, but I've never felt like, if I felt the doctor was judging me or wasn't partnering with me, then I needed to find a different doctor. I needed that doctor. I needed to be able to be 100% with them so that they can help me navigate through this journey, because these doctors are forever, you know, for us. So I've always been probably too bossy. Even if I walk in and I'm like, I need this test, then they don't agree with me. But at least I went in there with I educated myself enough, and then they can educate me on why Google was not correct. But I've always felt like it's been a very fluid conversation with my doctors. And I think a lot of people worry about that.
That's really interesting to hear, and I'm glad we're having this conversation, because we both approach this so differently. And I think for anyone listening who has people pleasing tendencies of any kind, you might agree with me, or maybe not, that I want to go to the doctor and make sure the doctor likes me, even though I know rationally maybe I need to be getting something else out of this conversation with my doctor. But in the back of my mind, I still feel that tendency. And there's something you said too about interviewing doctors, and I find that really fascinating, because it's not something I really had thought about before. In my head, I always found it so difficult to move on from a doctor, especially if I already spent time with that doctor, or it took me a long time to get an appointment with that doctor, it was really difficult to get an appointment, or it's a doctor that my health insurance was providing for me or giving me access to. And so I think that's definitely a narrative I want to change in my mind a little bit, is to create a more collaborative relationship with my doctor and realize that you do have options and you do have choices to go to who's going to make you feel the best and who's going to make you feel like you can speak up about things you've read on the internet, even if it's not true. Because I will say, sometimes it is really important, in my opinion, to educate yourself as much as you can, knowing you're not a doctor, but still educating, so when the doctor starts to talk about some of this, you at least have some language around it. And I did that pretty early on when I was going through the process, especially on a recurring basis, multiple times a month, knowing what some of the things I was seeing on blood tests meant. So not that I can become an expert, but just so I can be a little aware of that. And that way, when I have the conversation with the doctor, even if they kind of scoff and say, well, you didn't go to 4 years of medical school and you didn't do residency here. And I totally get that, but I know what this means on a base level, and hopefully we can have
it. Appreciate it. You know, I feel like they appreciate, like, I've never had, I mean, probably behind the scenes, they're like, oh, great, here comes Jim Ray. But I think they appreciate us taking that charge, because things can slip through the cracks. And so if we're like, hey, look at this, you know, and it might have slipped, you know, they have so many patients. And I put notes for, I have like a little little note section, little post-it notes on my phone. And so an app to post to know, and it, like, for each doctor appointment, so I can say, I write on there like each thing I want to talk to them about, because as soon as I walk in there and they're like, oh, how are you feeling, I'm always like, oh, great, when no 3 days ago I had, you know, all these things. So I think it's and even if they're just like, oh, those are nothing, must have been seasonal allergies, whatever, at least they're aware of it and they know, because sometimes I might not notice the pattern, but they might notice the pattern. So And if I have them on my notes, then it's faster, you know, because these appointments can be like 10 minutes and they're out of there onto the next patient. So at least I get everything out, all my questions, everything.
I definitely will agree with that. Make sure you just write down your questions, no matter how silly you feel like they are, because it's going to be good for you to refer back to them, to have a running record of the things that you've said before and you haven't said before. But at the end of the day, to your point, there is a relationship building there. There is a reciprocal relationship. And so I think for me, really taking the information I've learned from you when thinking about saying, this is kind of what I need. Are you available? Will you be able to respond via an online portal? Is there an opportunity to email you? Is it open for any type of question that I have, even if it's something I feel is really silly? Is it okay for me to say to you, I feel like this question is silly, but I'm unsure? And so my hope is that everyone can feel a bit more comfortable in their relationships with their doctors. And there's always so many different things we can do. I mean, we could probably talk for an hour about different things that we've done before, the things we have thought about doing in the future, which it would actually be really nice for us to create a checklist or something of like, hey, don't forget to do this thing. But yeah, I really loved hearing a little bit about kind of how you approach all of this.
It's interesting that I've developed such, you know, to me, it's like, it's so many things over the years, over the almost 20 years of going through this journey, things have fallen through the cracks. And so sometimes I feel like I'm like a little neurotic about being my own advocate. I mean, it's kind of bad that I don't even want my care partner going into the doctor's appointments with me because they're a distraction. But when I don't feel well, at least I could bring someone with me. And I know that that's helpful, especially after a surgery when you're not really 100%. But, and I don't think either one of our approaches is right or wrong necessarily. I guess it would depend on what you want to get out of your doctor appointments and what you want to get out of your appointments. I've always found that it's so necessary because when I first started at my transplant center, it was a tiny, tiny transplant center. And now it's this huge transplant center. So, you know, I like to be able to, I might not get a call right, you know, before day three about my labs. So now I know, you know, I look at my labs. I know like what, if something needs urgent attention, you know, I could call and go, hey, did you notice this? And usually the like, couple times over the years are, oh my gosh, you're so right. Oh my gosh, we should, you know. So you just never know, because the only person that really, really, truly cares about your life is you.
I mean, a couple of final things I'll say is that's a really powerful statement. And also, I think there is a larger question to around how much onus is really on the patient to do some of this searching. And I think there's a little bit of a balance there of how much of the and the follow-up and the pre-work and the question asking should I do, how much do I expect from my doctor. And I think that's another part of this question too. And one final thing I'll say is it's also going to be so different depending on if you go to a transplant center or if you're not in a transplant center and you're just seeing a nephrologist through other means. And I think that's something to explore too, because that's going to be, especially for nephrologists, isn't a transplant oriented nephrologist, and the conversations are going to be very different. So yeah, I think there's a lot that I'm certainly considering, and it's going to really help me as I take my next steps moving to Denver. So looking forward to that.
Yes, it's so important, I think. And I also do peer-to-peer mentoring for transplant patients. And something that I've heard over and over and over is, no, I did not discuss that with my doctor because I was embarrassed. And you just can't be embarrassed. You have to, like, yes, sure, it's still embarrassing, but I've never had a doctor laugh at me or anything. And so it's, I just think it's just so imperative to living a night, I wouldn't say healthy life. Yeah, healthy, normal.
And let me say one more thing too, is leverage your community. And just like with Transplant Life, there's an opportunity for maybe even you to reach out to others who's and ask them, what is kind of the moment you felt most embarrassed, if you're willing to share? Because I promise you, if there is a power dynamic when you go to the doctor, there might be layers of that power dynamic. And so you're not the only one feeling embarrassed. It's a little deferential. You want to make sure you're asking the right things, being told the right things. So yeah, that's something I'm also planning to do, is really kind of leverage the community that's already here. And maybe that's something I will post on the Transplant Life blog, is, Eddie, let's talk about it. Let's talk about our most embarrassing moments when seeing
you. Yeah. Time.
Or let's,
you know, talk about, I'll later. Start it off. There, I'll start it off.
Awesome.
I'll say
I'm
that
looking forward to it.
No, I'm going to just tell you right now that I don't want it in writing. Is I was having some financial difficulties and a few months, and I started to notice that my medication adherence was going to become a problem. I was so embarrassed to say something. And I finally, like at the very last moment of needing my medications, I finally told my nephrologist, and he was just like, why have you been suffering this long and not telling me? He's like, I have a million resources for you. And because I was in such a sad time in my life, because other things were happening around it, and I was just like, yeah, why did I make it so difficult for myself? Like, someone's been here the whole time to help me through this. So I think that's really important, that we really lean on our doctors and use them as a tool, along with, we use Google every day, right?
And I'll never stop. And now it's there. It's definitely on the internet, of course, but you also have your community. You might have asked that same question before, you're looking to ask. So if you don't find it on Google, you'll find it somewhere else. And know that you're not alone. We're all trying to build relationships that are sometimes transactional, but they need to be deeper because it's about you and it's about your health. So it is tricky.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you, Dusty, for hanging out with me today and talking about this difficult topic. You can find both of us on transplantlife.com in the forums, and also DM us on transplantlife.com as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. We invite you to hop on over to transplantlife.com and join the conversation. See you next time.